Welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe, a podcast where you'll get to learn from the experts in the field of sex, love, and relationships. The mission of the Sex Talk Cafe is to normalize the conversation on sexuality while building a bridge between the sexual and spiritual. I'm your host, Susan Morgan Taylor. I'm a holistic sex therapist, intuitive coach, and specialist in women's sexuality and feminine spirituality. I'm the founder and CEO of the Pathway to Pleasure Collective, where I help women and couples around the world restore intimacy, save their relationship, and get back to love without feeling like they have to sacrifice themselves just to keep their partner happy. Thank you so much for joining me. Welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe. Today's podcast guest is Dr. Rebecca Childs. Dr. Childs is a pelvic health physical therapist who works at Origin Physical Therapy in San Antonio, Texas. She specializes in the treatment of pelvic floor dysfunction, including pelvic pain, sexual dysfunction, pregnancy and postpartum, and bowel and bladder dysfunction. Dr. Childs earned her doctorate of physical therapy degree from the University of Texas Health Center in San Antonio in 2017. She has a passion for empowering individuals through education and connecting them to their pelvic floors through her holistic approach. Rebecca, welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So excited to have you here. I think that this topic that we're touching on today, which is the topic of pelvic floor physical therapy, pelvic floor health in general, it's so relevant to the conversation around sex and sexuality. And yet I think it's actually an area that is really often, it's really overlooked or underaddressed.
Yes, I so agree. There is not a lot of education out there about that, about pelvic health in general. So I'm so excited to be talking about this too.
Yeah, and I know I introduced you a little bit in the introduction, but I would love for you just to share with our listeners a little bit about you, just like who you are and what you do, but also like why and how on earth did you get interested in this field?
Yeah, so I found pelvic health in kind of a roundabout way. I became a physical therapist originally 6 years ago, and I thought I'd be working with kind of like the sports and ortho population. But during my graduate work, so my doctoral training, is when I learned about what the pelvic floor even was, which is pretty wild to kind of say because, you know, I was already in my 20s at that point, and I had never heard of my pelvic floor. Which kind of just speaks to what we were just talking about kind of the lack of education in this area. So towards the end of my graduate work, I was really stressed. I was busy. I was trying to finish up all my doctoral training, and I kept getting what I thought were UTIs. I would go into my doctor, but my cultures would be negative. And so I'm like, what the heck is going on? I had a bunch of pain. I had to pee all the time. But luckily I had one of my clinical rotations with a pelvic floor specialist, and come to find out all of my symptoms were coming from my pelvic floor. I had a lot of muscular tension, a lot of restrictions, and it was giving me the same symptoms as a UTI.
Oh my gosh.
I know, it was crazy. So thankfully I was able to get rid of those symptoms, but I was like, oh my gosh, everyone needs to know about this area of their body and how important it is to our lives. And so that's what really kind of started my passion for this field, was my own experience.
Wow, amazing. And so for our listeners, what is the pelvic floor? Like, we say that and think we know what that means, but I have a feeling that there's probably a lot more to it than what most people think of when they hear that.
Yes. So every single human being in the world has a pelvic floor. It's not just about women. Men, children, everybody is born with a pelvic floor. Our pelvic floor is really central to how we function in our day-to-day lives. It affects how we sit, how we stand, how we walk, and really how we move throughout our day. It's a group of muscles that sits right between your two sit bones. So if you're sitting down right now, you can kind of wiggle around and feel those butt bones. Your pelvic floor is sitting right in that area. It's a bowl-shaped group of muscles that helps us to be able to do everyday functions. It helps us to be able to poop, helps us to be able to pee. It supports our organs against gravity, so when we're up and moving about. And then it plays a role in our ability to have pleasurable intercourse, as well as orgasms.
Ooh, wow. Well, Yeah, and so this is Sex Talk Cafe. So obviously, we definitely want to hear about that part of the pelvic floor and how it serves us with how it serves with orgasm. That's super cool. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so our pelvic floor muscles have to be able to contract in order for us to have an orgasm. And this is true for men or women. So if we have some weakness in this group of muscles, you may not be able to achieve an orgasm, or your orgasm may not be as strong or as pleasurable as you're wanting. On the other end of that, if your pelvic floor is kind of like too tight or too contracted, again, this can cause things like erectile dysfunction, or it can again limit your ability to have an orgasm that is pleasurable.
Wow. Yeah, and I think that's something too that we don't tend to think about of like the muscular structure of the pelvic floor and how that contributes to what you just said about orgasm is really amazing. But you can have it like where it's the muscles are too weak or they can also be too tight. And I feel like there's, let's talk about this for a minute because I think this is really relevant. There's a lot of education that we get as women around like tightening the pelvic floor, like do your Kegels, right? Or the yoni egg practice is something that I absolutely love, the jade egg practice. And then also I know there's like pelvic floor, what the PTs, what you do, you guys use the pelvic floor weights, right? To like tone that part of the body. But it's also true that some of those muscles can also be too tight. So if we're getting this message that we have to constantly tighten and strengthen the pelvic floor, is that, do you think that that sometimes is like not the right message for everybody? And if so, like what should people be paying attention to instead, or in addition to tightening the pelvic floor?
Yeah, I that you just like hit on like one of my favorite topics, honestly, to talk about. I think, looking back 10 years at kind of the public health profession, that was kind of the message that was being given, is that every woman should be at the stoplight doing, 100, 200 kegels a day. And that's just really not the case for most people. I think we live in a world that we are pretty inundated with stressors in our life, right? Whether that be the amount of time we're on our computer, the amount of, time we're on our phones, maybe we're not sleeping enough, maybe we're not drinking enough water. All those things can be stressors for our body and for our nervous system. And so what I often see more in practice is that my patients tend to have overly tight pelvic floors, and they have difficulty relaxing or lengthening that musculature, which contributes more to their dysfunction and pain. So if you have someone who has that tightness and then you're telling them to Kegel on top of it, you're going to actually be creating more dysfunction and more pain if they're already having pain with intercourse.
Wow. So how do you address that? Because obviously I bet you're getting a lot of people that come in, they're like, I've done all the Kegels or I did the yoni egg thing and like I still have problems and why isn't this working? Like how do you address that in your work?
One of my first things I'll have a patient do is kind of do like a self-assessment, because then anybody can kind of do this throughout their day. So if you're sitting right now or standing, what you want to do is kind of stop for a moment. And what you're going to do is draw your attention to your jaw muscles. Do you feel like you're clenching your jaw? Do you have a lot of tension in that area? You're then going to draw your attention to your shoulders. Are they tense? Do you tend to be a person who has a lot of knots in your shoulders? Are they kind of crunched up towards your ears? And then the last place you're going to look is kind of your hands. Do you tend to grip heavily when you're driving, or are you having a lot of tension as you're sitting here working on your computer? If the answer is yes to any of those areas, chances are you are also holding a lot of pelvic floor tension, contributing to some of your pain. So if you're coming to see me in therapy, what we would really start with would be some down training. So working on some nervous system down training to get you into a more relaxed state and help to lengthen that pelvic floor and bring awareness to that area.
Wow, that's so cool. Right when you saw that, I'm like, oh yeah, my jaw, I am clenching my jaw. That's
Yeah.
something that I do a lot. And I know that this is true, because in my practice, I'm constantly obviously working with sexual issues in a different way, not in the way that you are through physical therapy, but more through
sex therapy and coaching, but the jaw, the relation of the jaw to the pelvic floor is a connection that I know exists. And I know that when we're tensing in the jaw, there's tightness in the jaw, tightness in the throat, it mirrors the tightness in, say, the vagina and also that holding the pelvic floor. Can you talk a little bit about that connection and either why that is or how that is? Like, why is it that those two things mirror each other, those two parts of the body?
Yes, so our jaw and our upper trap have direct kind of relation to our pelvic floor, and it's kind of through two different areas. One is a fascial connection. We have a fascial line that starts up in our neck and head area and goes all the way through our pelvic floor. But then we also have that nervous system connection. With our nervous system, we have two components, a sympathetic part and then a parasympathetic part. We know that if someone is staying in that more sympathetic state, meaning a more fight or flight state all day long, whether that be due to stress or they're just running around like crazy, our pelvic floor is then going to mirror that. So it's kind of twofold, definitely fascial, but then neural as well.
Oh, okay, yeah, that totally makes sense. Let's talk about pain during sex. It's an issue that's more common than I think people realize. And it's also not the sexiest thing in the world to talk about. So I think that we should talk about it. I think we should shed a little light on pain during intercourse, and would love to hear really from your perspective, what causes that pain? Why does that pain occur, and how is it treated? I know that in my therapy practice, I'm always referring when I see sexual pain show up, I always refer to a pelvic floor physical therapist like yourself, because we'll talk about this shortly, I'm sure, such important work in the world. But let's talk about the pain during intercourse, and what are the causes, the most common causes, and how is it treated?
Yeah, and I'm so glad you're referring to us, and we also so appreciate your work as well, because pelvic pain or pain with intercourse really does need a holistic approach and a multidisciplinary approach to get to the root of the issue. But we know 1 in 5 women experience pain with sex, or what's also known as dyspareunia. I think that number is probably much higher because, again, like you said, this issue is not commonly spoken about. So it's definitely underreported. Some of the main causes of dyspareunia could be trauma. So whether that be sexual trauma or medical trauma is another big one I see. Childbirth, or then there's the orthopedic trauma as well. So if someone broke their tailbone or was in a car accident, something like that. Hormonal imbalances is another common cause as well. So obviously that could be someone who's going through menopause, but it could be also just someone who is having some imbalances going on in their life, and it leads to a lot of vaginal dryness in those tissues, which can be very, very painful when you're trying to have intercourse. Pelvic floor dysfunction is another common cause, and then prolapse of organ, so uterus, bladder, or even rectum can cause a lot of pain when you're trying to have intercourse.
Yeah, nice. And I want to add one thing to this list that I know and have experienced and see, is also when we don't, as women, when we don't give our bodies really time to be ready for intercourse or penetrative sex, and we're letting stuff go in the vagina when the vagina is not really, and the labia and the whole vulvar area is not really warmed up and really engorged and ready to have something in there, which would be a little bit of a different issue, I think, than what you're speaking to and what you treat. But I just feel like I want to put that out there for our listeners, that all of the stuff that you're saying are definitely causes and things that you work with, Rebecca, but also this whole idea of really learning our anatomy, like as women, especially learning our pelvic floor anatomy and our sexual anatomy, and understanding that you can't just go sticking stuff in there when it's not really available and ready and open and relaxed, which could, theoretically can cause more trauma to the area in a sense. Would you agree?
Oh, I 100% agree. I mean, I think pushing through pain in order to have penetrative intercourse, whatever that means for you, is really never a good idea. It's really best to be working with a pelvic floor therapist in conjunction with a sex therapist who can help address the pain you're having from all angles, and then reintroduce penetration at the right stage of treatment. Like you were saying, when you are ready and when your body is ready to accept that.
Well, what are some ways that how do you work with that? Like, can we talk a little bit about, like, let's say there's a woman that comes to see you who, let's just say she's really afraid and just her vagina is just not opening. Like, penetration is like either been really painful or she's just really scared of it. What are there things that you can do to help that?
Definitely. So, in therapy, we definitely take a whole body approach. So we might start with more external work, so manual work, to increase blood flow to the tissues, fascial work with some, cupping, body work, or even using, something like a dry needle to improve blood flow and regulation of that area, to hopefully then eventually work on some of the musculature internally as well. But again, really taking cues from the patient and their body of what are you ready for, and how can we support you and get you to your goals.
Yeah, and what would you say is the biggest obstacle? So, I know like people hear, oh, pelvic floor physical therapy, and even hearing you just now like describe the kinds of things that you would do, we're talking about like hands-on work in the pelvic floor in the genital area, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so I'm really curious, what are some of the most common obstacles that potential clients who really need this work, like what are the obstacles they have to overcome inside themselves to really be able to, to reach out to you and to receive this kind of help that they need? Because I know that people can hear like, oh, I'm referring you to a pelvic floor physical therapist. Like, theoretically, there could be a lot of anxiety that comes up around that, or a lot of uncertainty. Like, whoa, what is this? And where are you going to be touching me? And I would just love to hear, like, from your experience and perspective, what some of those common obstacles are, and then also maybe like how you help people overcome them.
I think the most common obstacle is the fear of the unknown and the anxiety around having someone work on your most sensitive and private areas. We do our best if patients have those questions. They can definitely always talk to a therapist prior to even coming in for the evaluation. But sometimes, honestly, on the evaluation, my whole evaluation is spent just on education and working on meeting that person where they are at, to help them be able to receive the benefits from pelvic floor PT, if that's something that they're willing to do. Oftentimes, I also do work in conjunction with counselors as well, so that they can mentally prepare, which I think is probably just as important as physically.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that. What would you say in terms of like when we're talking about, this pain conversation, pain during intercourse, are there any sexual positions that you recommend to your clients that can be helpful or anything that people can work with so that they can, still engage in being sexual without it leading to pain?
Yeah, definitely. So I think three or kind of two main things, and then I'll talk about the positions that a couple positions that I find helpful is lubrication. I think is so helpful if you're having any sort of pain. And I feel like sometimes people kind of roll their eyes like, oh, I don't need lubrication. But if there is pain involved, having an extra amount of lubrication can be really helpful. Making sure you're lubricating either your partner or the strap-on, but then also making sure you're lubricating the vaginal tissues as deeply as you can. And then using supportive devices. So I love pillows, wedges, anything to make yourself as most relaxed and comfortable as you can be. You can even use something like an onut, which is basically like a bumper for, again, your penis or strap-on, and it can kind of limit or help guide the depth of penetration, which can really help as you're working to get rid of that pain.
Like being able to really control so it's not poking on the parts that are hurting. Is that what
Basically, yeah.
that
Exactly.
was? I love it. Hey, I'm curious too, like going back to like one of the sources for pelvic pain that you mentioned had to do with hormonal imbalances and not necessarily just in a menopausal woman, but even in someone who's not experiencing hormonal changes with menopause, sometimes you said there can be like dryness or hormonal sources of pain. And I would love to get your take on, well, actually I have two questions around this. I think the first one is around the birth control pill. So to my understanding, can actually cause an imbalance of, I think it's the testosterone. It can throw off testosterone levels in the woman's body and can cause pain in the outer part of the vagina. Is that something that you've encountered in your work?
Yes, that is so interesting that you brought that up. Yes, the hormonal birth control pill is, or even IUD, can wreak havoc on our vaginal tissues, on our vaginal canal. Obviously, that's not the experience of everyone, but I have seen it that when people get off of that hormone replacement causing an imbalance, it can be an imbalance in testosterone, but then also even the estrogen dominance that can occur because we're not ovulating often when we're on those pills. When they get off of them, their pain reduces dramatically and the health of their tissue and the suppleness and the lubrication of that tissue returns.
Yeah, it's so amazing that that can be a source of pelvic pain. And the second part of my question around this is, how do you diagnose that? So if a woman's coming in with pelvic floor pain or pain during intercourse, how do you determine the source of it? Like whether it is hormonal or not?
It definitely takes time. It's kind of like peeling back the layers. We're going to look at it from a musculoskeletal standpoint, but we're always talking to them too about their diet, their lifestyle. What are you taking, supplements or medications? And kind of trying to peel back, okay, when did this start? How long has this been going on? And kind of piecing together the pieces. If we kind of have addressed a lot of the other components, and this is kind of the one thing that's glaring at me. I'm like, okay, this started around when you started on this new, birth control or whatever. You've seen this major increase in your pain since then. We haven't been able to get under control. Then that's a conversation with their OBGYN usually, about like, hey, is there any other, options for this person, or talking with the patient and trying to have that conversation about maybe some non-hormonal options for birth control. To help them basically be able to get what they need from birth control, but then also help their pain.
Yeah, awesome. What would you say? Let's flip the conversation here. So I'm really curious, like, what do you have anything you can offer to the partner of somebody suffering with pelvic pain or pain during intercourse? Any words of advice? If someone is listening to this show right now and they're not struggling with this issue, but they are with someone in an intimate relationship who does struggle with it.
Yeah, that is it can be a hard position to be in. I think sometimes the partner just wants, the other partner to be fixed. And we always encourage, or I always encourage partners to come into our sessions if that is helpful so that we can communicate about what is going on or what we found in therapy. And then helping them to support their partner, whether that be, helping them to lubricate or doing some relaxation and some breathing together to really get in sync. And then again, I always refer them to a sex therapist, usually since you're the expert in that area.
Hey, so wow, I didn't know that. So you encourage and allow the partners to come in to the sessions with you.
Yes, as long as it's a safe environment for my patient, and they're willing to have their partner come in, which usually they are because they're looking for help in that area,
Right.
then yes, I also that we can practice, different techniques, and that
Awesome.
they can help.
I love it. So I kind of feel like, I mean, I know this, so your work is mostly around women's sexual health. Is that true? Did I get that
Yeah,
correct?
women are, I would say, are the majority of my population. I do treat men as well. But yeah.
I want to just touch briefly on like men, and men have, do men also encounter pelvic pain? And if so, like what tends to be the causes in men?
In the male population that I've seen, I have found more often than not that they have an overactive pelvic floor. So a lot of tightness. We treat men rectally, obviously, just due to their anatomy. But we have the same musculature basically with men or women. So being able to treat those muscles, trigger point release, and then again, it's a lot of nervous system down training and a lot of breathing to help them be able to relax their pelvic floor. I think sometimes men get in this habit of doing some squeezes, maybe without even being realizing it. It kind of like a Kegel, I guess, in a sense, and it leads to a lot of overactivity in their pelvic floor.
What are some of the symptoms? Like, how does that manifest in a man?
It can manifest as erectile dysfunction, but more often it's pain with
Okay.
an erection or pain after ejaculation.
What about someone who has had this problem going on for a really long time? Like, how might you address that? Because I think that I'm sure that it probably takes people a while before they actually reach out for help, because as you know, there's a lot of shame and embarrassment around A, around that part of the body, B, shame and embarrassment around sex, and then C, shame and embarrassment around just having the problem of pain. So I could see how it could really be, it's impacted their relationship by this point. Maybe they've tried things that haven't worked. Like, how do you help support people and maybe even give them hope, if they've been struggling with this for a really long time?
Yeah, I think unfortunately, like you said, it does take people a really long time to maybe get to the correct practitioners. And by the time they reach me or you, for example, they've kind of gotten this message that they're broken, that there's something wrong with them. But
Right.
I guess my message to them is that you're not broken. You're probably just a little bit out of balance. Our bodies want to heal and they really want to be healthy. They might just need a little bit of extra support and the right kind of support along the way. There really are some amazing practitioners out there, and to help guide you physically, mentally, and emotionally. And there's definitely hope and the ability to heal.
I love that. And what about just like people that don't have issues? Like, let's talk about this. All right. Like, why would I want to have a healthy pelvic floor? And like, should I, as someone who doesn't struggle with painful intercourse or pelvic floor dysfunction, like, should people that don't have issues spend time, healing or not healing? What's the word I'm looking for? Like, having a rock star pelvic floor, like making sure that it's resilient and toned. Like, is that important for people that don't have issues and problems?
Yes, I think it's important for everyone because it relates so much to our ability to poop, pee, and have sex, which are essential functions for our entire life. As we age, every single part of our life, those three things, for the most part, we hopefully will be doing. I always say, going to a pelvic floor therapist should be like kind of like getting your check-ins at your doctor's offices or your dentist's office, kind of going in yearly almost, to make sure your pelvic floor is in a good state so it doesn't lead to incontinence or constipation or prolapse or things like that.
If we want to have a rock star pelvic floor, can you share with us maybe one exercise that people listening could do that would help to strengthen, tonify that area, and even potentially reduce pain if that's something that someone is experiencing?
Yes, my favorite exercise to give, and I think honestly any person can do this and would benefit from it, would be something called 360 degree breath work, or another name for it is diaphragmatic breath work. What this does is it's intentional work to connect your body to your pelvic floor again, which often gets disconnected just because of life we live. We sit a lot in our society. And so there's a lot, often a very big disconnect between our brain and our pelvic floor. So what this should look like, you can either be sitting, standing, or laying down, whatever you're comfortable with. And as we inhale, our pelvic floor should gently relax or lengthen. As we exhale, then our pelvic floor should return to kind of its resting state, not doing a Kegel, but just returning to that bowl kind of resting tone state. If someone has had pain or dysfunction in their pelvic floor, it's not uncommon if you're trying this exercise that you won't be able to feel anything right away. It sometimes can take a little bit of intentionality and a little bit of work, before your brain kind of reconnects to that part of your body.
Wow, I was doing it there as you were speaking. And I could feel, yeah, it took me a minute to kind of get my breath. And I sort of imagined my diaphragm like pushing down towards the pelvic floor. And I could feel my pelvic floor like actually pushing out on my inhale. And then when I exhale, I just kind of let it come back to neutral. That felt really cool.
Exactly. Yeah, that's perfect.
So why would you not recommend like contracting, say, on the exhale?
Yeah, I never recommend a contraction or a Kegel until I know where that person is at.
Okay.
In my opinion, if someone's Kegeling, that can kind of do more harm than good
Okay.
if they have, a history of any sort of pain or dysfunction.
Okay.
So once I know that person, I'm like, oh yeah, you do need some of that strengthening component. Then yes, we can definitely add in a Kegel on that exhale. But until, yeah, I'm familiar with the patient, then I usually will just start with that breath work.
The relaxing. And what are your thoughts with the Kegels? Like, do you think that it's a, like just to sit there and do the Kegels, or do you think it's necessary to have some kind of a, like the yoni egg or a pelvic floor, the weights? Like, do you think that there needs to be something in the vagina? This, we're talking about women here, in the vagina in order for that Kegel to be effective, or is a Kegel effective without having any kind of support in the vagina while you're doing a Kegel?
Yeah, I don't think there needs to be any support really at all. Sometimes I'll use like either, like you said, the egg or a weight if someone needs a little bit of feedback. But for the most part, I try to incorporate the pelvic floor movement with a functional movement. So like a squat or a bridge or a
Okay.
core workout to
Gotcha.
really, because, our pelvis doesn't function in isolation, right? We want to incorporate it with the rest of our body to really get the biggest, bang for your buck, if you will, out of those
Got it.
exercises.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. What about a woman who's had a child or two and her vagina now is just a little looser than maybe she would like it to be? Is that something that you can help with?
Yes, in the sense of building strength, if that's something she needs, in the sense of it, quote unquote, returning to how it used to be after kiddos, I definitely can't say we can guarantee that. I find that once we help with someone's glutes and core and pelvic floor and that connection, it feels a lot tighter, I guess, if you will, or stronger, to the patient, and so they're happy with that result.
Awesome. Wonderful. Well, this has been like a delightful conversation, and I would love for you to just share with our listeners like where can they find you? Where can they get in touch with you? How can someone who's hearing this reach out for help if they feel like they resonate with it and they need this kind of work?
Yes, again, thank you so much for having me. It's always so great to talk to you. But patients can find me at Origin Physical Therapy. I work in San Antonio, Texas. But we do actually offer services nationwide virtually, which is an awesome component if someone is not ready to come in to an in-person session for to start. So you can find us online, you can book online, and then we have a lot of good free resources as well on our website, kind of what to expect from pelvic floor therapy, who we are, what we do. And then we have Instagram as well. I'll give you my Instagram and you can link it. But I'm Dr. Rebecca on Instagram, and then there's Origin Physical Therapies on Instagram as well.
Excellent. I'll make sure to put that in the show notes. And Rebecca, thank you so much for just coming on the show today and for sharing your wisdom. And again, like I, as a sex therapist, I'm a huge supporter and proponent of pelvic floor physical therapy. And I'm just really, really glad that we've connected and really happy that you came here to share your message with our listeners. I really feel that Origin Physical Therapy is very aligned. Really just with a very holistic approach to this work, which is super important in my opinion. And then I also just love that you have the option for people to work with you virtually. It really just makes this work so much more accessible. So thank you so much again for coming on the show. And I hope that our listeners will go visit Origin Physical Therapy and look up Dr. Rebecca Childs in San Antonio, the San Antonio practice. So thank you so much again, Rebecca.
Thank you so much, and thank you for all your work you do as well.
Thank you for joining me today for the Sex Talk Cafe. Please be sure to show your support by subscribing to this podcast and sharing it with your friends. to keep in the loop on future events and happenings, and to grab your copy of our free ebook, The Pleasure Keys, 7 Secrets to Feminine Sexual Fulfillment, visit us online at pathwaytopleasure.com.